From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Black Friday at Chiefs Kingdom. Hope you all are doing well and had a great holiday. We actually did as well. We're brought to you today by Built Bar. Today's episode is what you need to get everything from BuiltBar.com. Go to that site and use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your order today and the next day and the next day. We're going to get ready for this Bucks matchup because it is key. We have a lot to talk about today, including the status of one Sammy Watkins. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football as well.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. And we really do hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you were able to spend it with your family and stay safe. And, you know, I'm really thankful for just the opportunity to do this. Really enjoy doing this. And I guess we're going on, what, 5 years now. So hard to believe it's been that long.
It is, my Lord. And I echo your sentiment. Thank you all for every listener we've ever had, and especially all of you listening today. It has been quite a run. Here's looking at an upswing, too.
Yeah, I just want to argue with Ryan a little bit. He called it Black Friday, which I guess technically it is, but it's always a Red Friday as well with the Chiefs playing on Sunday. So just want to throw that out there. Let's go ahead and jump into the news, though. You look at this game, and the bigger news for Kansas City is they're getting players back.
Yeah, it's about time, too. It's been since week five, but Sammy Watkins practiced in full on Thursday on the holiday, and that is a really positive sign from what we've seen lately. A little bit of a tweak to Bo Peet Key's ankle, but it seems that he practiced as well.
Yeah, it looks like everybody on the Chiefs roster practiced in full. That is great news for this game, and you know, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was looking at the roster, and when they brought Rankin off the COVID list, I didn't realize, or I did think he was on the active roster, and he is, but they don't even have him on the injury report anymore, which means they feel he's 100% and there is no lagging injury there. So that's a great sign for him. I think he's going to be a nice addition down the stretch. But I think the thing that really sticks out to me is if you would have told me 6 months ago, right after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that they would be 9-1 headed into the Buccaneers game and missing three starters on their offensive line, I would have told you were crazy.
Yeah, this has been a pretty impressive run without anything resembling. And we also have to remember that not only do they not have their starters, but they've had multiple starters. The left guard was new, lost him pretty quickly. You know, they've jumbled the center position back and forth. So I don't even know if you can call it a starter or not any longer, but it's been quite a run. And it's to have everybody that you can have back right now. Obviously, Mitch Schwartz went to IR, so he's not included in that group. But it means that Remmers is practicing on his knee. It means that Fisher's practicing on his knee. That's really important for what is going to be a really stiff contest against defense in the Buccaneers that we know is going to blitz. We know they're going to attack every option that they have. Having those guys out there, plus Rankin, plus Wiz, plus Witzman, you have a lot of options now.
Yeah, you definitely do. And, you know, Wisniewski is on the practice squad. He's not going to probably be active this week, but I do think he'll be coming in the next couple of weeks. But I'm still sitting here going with where the Chiefs are, you know, and I guess maybe this is partially the holiday as we're recording this. I have to be thankful just for where Kansas City is right now. I was expecting them to be a tough team to beat. I was expecting them to be very good this season. I don't know that I was expecting 9-1. I think that I thought it was a possibility, but you know, I definitely wasn't expecting the loss to be to the Raiders. So that was surprising, but still missing three offensive starters at your offensive line and missing Damian Williams. Just really, and obviously, you know, Sammy Watkins being out as long as he had, the offense honestly hasn't really looked that out of shape with Watkins out, and it had in years past.
Yeah, it's been healthy adaptation there. And I think that's one of the things that we have to continue to see move forward as they get ready for these Tampa Bay Bucks that predict to be a good game first and foremost, but also look to be somebody that can actually do some damage because they have a couple of matchups that I think are really key. Obviously, we've seen Patrick versus Tom in the past, but we need to get into that as well. So we'll start there coming up next. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for the game no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through this game and all the others to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are our generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
really quick, because we did not mention this, I do want to go into the Buccaneers practice report as it literally just came out as we're recording. Looks like they're without Donovan Smith, who is one of their tackles. A.Q. Shipley, I actually read yesterday, he did not practice either today, but it sounds like he suffered a career-ending injury in their game against the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
They're reporting that.
I had not seen that. That's significant.
Yeah. So he's going to be out this week. It looks like Ali Marpet is going to be back from his concussion. So, you know, as much as I, you know, don't like injuries, but that's a position I really wish he was not going to be back this week. I think that would help Kansas City get pressure on the offensive line. And they're missing Jamel Dean for a concussion as well. But the rest of them, it looks like they'll probably be good to go. Jason Pierre-Paul was limited in participation, but I figure he's probably going to play. When you look at this game, though, you know, what is it that sticks out to you? Because I know what really sticks out to me and where Kansas City, in my opinion, needs to attack them, at least defensively.
Well, the Chiefs defense in particular, this is the team that drafted Tristan Wirfs, who I think was the most athletic, the most powerful of the rookie tackles. And he has been playing well for them. He's playing on their right side. So whoever gets to rush from that side, which I hope that they go ahead and break out Chris Jones and put him over there, has a challenge. Otherwise, this is a matchup that I think really thwarts what the Chiefs are trying to do with the likes of Mike Dana and Tano Passanu. I don't know that you're going to get pressure from that side without putting one of your big names over there.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think Wirfs is playing fantastic for them, and I think that that's going to be something that you want to try to be taking advantage of the other side if you can. You know, the problem that I see is Kansas City has really lacked the pass rush department the past couple of weeks. You know, Chris Jones and Frank Clark, you know, people are being a little critical of Jones for taking plays off against the Raiders. And I think that you can make an argument that he did it on one or two plays. But for the most part, I think he looked like he was playing hard and trying to get there. But the problem is when you just have those two guys, they can do everything you want. But if you can't beat your guy one-on-one, it doesn't really matter. And that's really what you're going. That's really what you had last week. And you can't really take it away from Vegas. Vegas has a fantastic offensive line. I mean, they just do. That's reality. So, you know, I don't think the Buccaneers line is as good as Vegas's line, so I think that'll help. But I also want to point out really quick, you know, this is something that I've talked about a little bit on Twitter, and I'm not sure I've said it on the show, but it does stick out to me that I think the Raiders really have tried to take Kansas City's offensive mold and really make it their own in a lot of ways. Tyreek Hill, you know, Henry Ruggs, you know, their tight end, Travis Kelce. Those two major pieces, I think the Raiders are trying to build kind of what Kansas City has here. The big problem that they're going to have is they don't have Patrick Mahomes, nothing close to Patrick Mahomes. So, but getting back to this game against the Buccaneers, to me, the biggest thing that sticks out to me and the thing that you need to do as a defensive unit is you do need to try to get pressure on Tom Brady. I think that could be huge for Kansas City if they can get in his head early. But the bigger thing is you need to take away the short and intermediate throws. If you can take those away and find a way to stop their or get them out of their running game and try to make Tom Brady beat you over the top, they're not going to stand a chance.
I happen to agree with you. And that comes back to the pass rush part of it in getting there within that 2.3 second range, putting pressure there so that he has to try and do that. I think that leads to them playing some underneath zones, especially when we think that Juan Thornhill's going to be a reduced snap guy for at least a bit. That makes a lot more sense playing the under zones. But the other matchup that's important there is going through one of the interior gaps. And Ryan Jensen's a guy that has been under fire. He has really fallen off in his season here in Tampa Bay. Now, last year was his career year in terms of his production. He had a good game last week, but he's been really up and down. He's playing over at the left guard, at least right now, unless the news of Shipley changes that. But that's something that I think if you don't decide to stack and move someone over to the right side against Wirfs, that you have to try to overload Jensen, because I think there's a lot of room to get pressure right there in the A and B gaps.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's something Kansas City needs to do. I do want to take a moment to say, Adam Teicher, the next time you tweet about Tyrann Mathieu and an ACL, make sure you word your tweet better, because That pissed a lot of Chiefs Kingdom off. Oh. It scared a lot of people.
Panic ensued.
Yeah. Man, just be careful how you word things. That's all I got to say.
See, folks, misspelling isn't the worst thing that I could do on Twitter.
That's true. That's very true. But good grief. Honestly, the Thornhill news, I think that shows that it is more of a thing of he realizes he's not back yet. And I think that that's something that we didn't really see going into this season, is that he was going to be a little slower getting back. So I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, honestly, when I look at this game, like I said, I would challenge Tom Brady to try to beat you deep. He's 0-for-19 in his last five games. Hasn't hit a pass, has thrown three interceptions. If you make him throw over 20 yards, that's a good thing for Kansas City. And, you know, make him beat you multiple times. I mean, don't just let him get one 20-yard throw and then change your defense completely. Make him beat you multiple times that way. If you can do that, I think you're going to be in a much better position as a Chiefs defense. You know, flipping it over to the other side of the ball, though, you start looking at the Kansas City offense against the Tampa Bay defense. I really like the matchups that Kansas City is going to have. I think that Tyreek Hill is going to have another good day, but I think really the key, and I think this is where Kansas City is really going to shine, you get Sammy Watkins back, it just opens so much more of the offense back up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, they've got some good players out there, but, you know, Carlton Davis is young. He's going to have his hands full, most likely seeing Sammy quite a bit. You said earlier that Dean was on the practice report as not being out there or having some kind of issue. He's one of the guys that has the speed that they could try to play. Oh, is that what it is? Concussion?
Yep.
He's one of the guys that they really need if they want to try to slow down Tyreek or have somebody run with him. Now, Murphy Bunny can run with him as well, too. He's got some good speed as well. But that does put a chink in the armor and I think puts more pressure on the guy that has been kind of their all-around find, somebody that is undersized. I think he flew under the radar by a lot of fans, not so much teams, because Winfield Jr. has been playing out of his mind. And I think they're gonna have to try to bracket Tyreek. He's going to have to be the guy there. And he's got the speed and the instincts, I think, to try to play the ball in the air. So if you're the Chiefs, do you try to go attack the rookie or do you try to see what they give you first?
You know, honestly, if you're Kansas City, I don't know that you really worry about it too much. You go run your offense and I think Andy Reid's been looking forward to this game most of the season. I think that he has kind of looked at it as, you know, a big point in the season for this team and really to find out where they are. Tampa Bay really hasn't lived up to the billing that you would expect them to have. I'm not expecting that this is going to be a blowout by any means. I do think it's going to be a good game and it's going to be competitive. But I do think that it's lost a little bit of its luster just because Brady hasn't been playing well. So it really kind of hurts the weapons that they have around him. And when you look at Kansas City trying to attack this team, the other thing that they're going to get back this week, and this is kind of funny because I hadn't thought of it this way, but Kansas City scored 35 points last week against the Raiders without their number two or number three wide receiver, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And without three of their top offensive linemen. And I just, you look at all in their number one running back. I mean, you look at what they're able to do with what the pieces they have. A lot of that's thankful to Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, you know, now you're going to be missing wide receiver four or five, wherever you want to put Pringle. And I'm wondering what they're going to do for that. I'm sure they're going to bring somebody up from the practice squad. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah, and I think we know who Chiefs Kingdom wants. I happen to agree with that. I want to see Jody Fortson get a couple of snaps. I'm not sure. I think it was three snaps for Garrett Dieter last week. I'm not sure that was enough. But we have a couple of matchups that they can exploit, and I think that's where we need to go to right now and then talk about, you know, obviously the biggest head-to-head matchup. So coming up next, Mahomes versus Brady. So that wide receiver that you brought up before, like you said, they've been without guys this whole time, but I think the mystery portion might be something they can get on, especially because I feel like the pass defense of the Bucs has a couple of chinks. And I would not have thought to say this a year ago, but one guy that I think they have to attack either with Travis or with the slot receiver is Devin White, because he is not playing up to par in coverage from what we saw earlier and certainly what we saw in college. So I think there's room there to exploit something. I'm just not sure how you go about it.
Yeah, I think that could be a really good matchup for Kansas City. The one thing I do want to point out, and I didn't really mention this when I talked about Hardman, is you think about all the things that really Kansas City's missed in this offense without him in the in it in last week. Think about all the misdirection stuff and all the, you know, sprinting across the field during motion. And you think that that doesn't make a difference? It does make a difference. I mean, you have to account for it. You have to account for where he is anytime he's on the field because of his speed. Same with Tyreek Hill. And you take a guy like that away from an offense, it really changes what you're able to do and changes what a defense is worried about and changes how much you stress an offense, or I'm sorry, a defense. So adding him back to the mix along with Sammy Watkins, who I think is underrated in his usage in Kansas City just because he doesn't necessarily get the stats that he could elsewhere. I think that that's going to be a huge thing for Kansas City. You know, you start talking about Mahomes versus Brady. Yeah, they're not playing head to head, and that's fine. The one thing I want to mention really quick before we get into really talking about them, I guarantee you that Brady goes and shakes Mahomes' hand after the game. Because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't seem to do that for some.
Right. Yeah, it's selective. But, you know, I think that was a turning point for Patrick. The last time when Tom actually spoke to him after their matchup there, this is, I think, an evolution of that. I think there's still certainly some common respect, but I think Patrick can still take some advice or something like that. But it's definitely different now that he's the front runner for the MVP and the turning of the tide has happened at this point. And for me, the number one thing that it comes down to is we all know how good Patrick is against pressure and about leaving the pocket and playing out of the system. That's great. It still comes back to it's exactly the opposite for Tom Brady, especially this season, where his passer rating from when he's not pressured at 107, which is very good, drops all the way down to 55 when he's pressured. Doesn't matter if it's a sack or a blitz or however you get that done. It's distinctly different that for an aggressive defense like the Bucs, they can pressure and do the things that they want to do, and they will blitz the snot out of Patrick. And Patrick has a tendency to actually perform better when pressured.
Which is still crazy.
I know, right? And on the backside,
it speaks to the mental capacity, though.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. It's. I think it's more physical capacity at this point because I don't think Brady can do anything any longer. That is up and above, right? But on the
I guess what I'm saying, mental capacity is just that Patrick knows where to go with the ball as soon as he's blitzed.
Right.
He knows, depending on where the blitz is coming from, he knows where he's going with the ball ahead of time. So that's really what I meant with mental capacity.
Yeah, and his pre-snap read is something we've talked about for the last couple of years. It has definitely improved. And on the flip side, this Chiefs defense that has struggled getting pressure, they're playing a quarterback that if you get any pressure at all, it dramatically helps you as a defense. So whatever pressure they can generate should help them quite dramatically. So it's a tale of two teams that are really playing against each other in ways that are very simple, but very opposite. And at the end of the day, I do think this is a further changing of the guard and that Patrick has the better day overall, despite playing against a very good defense.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think that Patrick is going to take another step ahead and kind of differentiate himself in the MVP race of this game, because I think Kansas City is going to come out and I think they're going to score a bunch of points. I really think that they're going to put some points on the board. And I think that's kind of funny saying that considering they've been scoring, you know, 40 and 35 points the past couple of weeks. And I'm still saying they're going to put a lot of points on the board this week. I look at this team and I look at the way that they're playing and I look at the way Mahomes has been playing. Honestly, you know, you can say he got an interception last week, but to me, that's still on Robinson. That's not on him. It's a disagreement between the two as to where that he was supposed to be. Mahomes has been playing out of his mind, and I can't see that changing this week. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup just because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And it's a weird 3:30 game for Kansas City this week, you know, even though they're playing on the East Coast.
Yeah, that is definitely weird, but it is what it is. The primetime schedule will not be thwarted by the NFL. That brings us down to what we think is going to happen. It's interesting that your take on it. I'm struggling to see whether they get to 30 points or not, because I do respect that defense. I'm going to say they make it barely. At the end of the day, I think they can get running, and I think the run game will be important for both of these teams, but I do see it 31-24 Chiefs.
You know, I look at this game and I think that it's going to really depend on what Steve Spagnuolo defense shows up this week. You know, that's been the biggest thing for me and the biggest thing that I've been watching the past couple of weeks is, you know, what's going on with the defense. You know, against Carolina, you had questions, and then against the Raiders, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the Raiders have a very good offense. So them scoring a bunch of points wasn't going to be a huge surprise to me. I think Kansas City played a lot better the second time around than they did the first time because they didn't have any huge plays that they allowed. And I think that was a great sign for their defense and improving. But they got to find a way to get pressure. And you said it yourself, if they get pressure on Tom Brady early in the game, it's going to completely change the game plan. And honestly, I look at this game and I look and I say, if Kansas City gets up 2 scores, then you take away the threat of their running game. And I think that's going to change the way the game goes too. And then you're going to see some zero blitzes, I think, from Spagnuolo. So I think that's a big thing in this game. I still think Kansas City scores 38 points. I'm going 38-27 Kansas City.
I like it. I think the X factor is going to be if BA changes his offense to adapt more to what Brady is capable of doing now. Look for Shady McCoy. If you start seeing him, then that's an advantage for them against the Chiefs linebackers, I think is going to be big.
That could be, and I will admit that that's probably something that he should do. The crazy thing is that Bruce Arians doesn't seem like he wants to change. I mean, he's made it pretty adamant that he doesn't seem to want to change. So I can't see him doing that this week, but who knows? I mean, if he wants to try to beat the Chiefs, that would be the best way he could probably do it or have a chance to do it. So we'll see what he does. But he really has been throwing Brady under the bus as it really goes.
It is. And I think that's what it comes back to. It's the two of them figuring their things out, because I think the wide receiver group for Tampa is in good position against the Chiefs DBs. I won't say they have a huge advantage, but you know, Mike Evans is Mike Evans. And nothing against Bashaud Breeland. He's probably the strongest of the Chiefs' corners, but that's still a pretty good mismatch, especially after the way that he played last week. So, like, it really is about stopping the delivery, because I think they have enough skills at the receiving positions. Even Gronk at this point it has something that can hurt them. So let's see how BA figures it out with Tom. But, folks, let us know what you think. We'd like to hear your predictions as well. Hope you're enjoying the craziness that is this Friday. And leave us your thoughts over at Twitter, at Locked On Chiefs, as well as the iTunes reviews. We appreciate all of those, especially the 5-star ones. If you have a complaint, feel free to hit us on Twitter with that first before you go to the iTunes reviews. We appreciate that, too. So hope you had a great holiday, Chris. I hope you did as well.
I did, bud. I hope you did as well. It's been a good one.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. So that's it for this Thanksgiving edition. You guys have a good one. We'll be back with you post-game after the Buccaneers.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.